Blog Talk Radio.
Your time, and you know why you're here. You know exactly why you're here, and I can tell that you are ready to get into this show because the phone lines are lighting up already. My special guest is really somebody that really doesn't even need an introduction. You know why you're here, but just in case you just were just born this morning, my special guest is an American rhythm and blues singer and actress. And she is a four-time Grammy nominee and the winner of the 1970 Tony Award for Best Performance by a Featured Actress in a Musical for her performance as Lulabelle in Pearlie, with a total of 11 top 10 U.S. hits on the Billboard charts over the past 40 years, both singles and albums. My special guest today, Queen Melba Moore, continues into the 21st century as one of pop music's most enduring artists. Her bio is so long. With all of her accomplishments, with all of the things that she's done, you know her from all of her. Everybody has a favorite Melba Moore song. Everybody I know has a favorite Melba Moore song. We have fell in love on Melba Moore songs. We have broken up on Melba Moore songs. We have... this is one of those artists that, again, needs no introduction. She's just a part of you. She's become a part of you over the years. We've grown together, and it is my honor. And I'm going to ask right now that if you're standing, that you bow, and if you're sitting, stand, okay? Because my special guest today is Queen Melba Moore. And I'm so honored to have her as my special guest today, again, on Jawanza for Life. Welcome back to Jawanza for Life, Queen Melba.
Thank you so much, Jawanza, you and your beautiful wife. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, it's truly, truly an honor to have you back. The response is overwhelming. When you say the word or the name Melba Moore, you know, it's like nobody says, who? You know, everybody says, where and when, you know. And so for everybody that's tuned in, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, I've got a surprise for you. If you didn't know, Queen Melba Moore is coming to Blues Alley. That's right. She's coming to Blues Alley tomorrow, okay, and Friday. I'm sorry, I'll take that back. She's coming to Blues Alley on Friday and Saturday, okay, and she's going to be doing two shows each night, one starting at 8 and the other at 10. And you've got to call the ticket office. I'm going to give you all that information. to see you. And you better hurry. Don't waste no time, because I'm sure that these shows are going to be sold out. Okay, so I'm going to give you the information on how you can get your tickets. Again, she's coming to Blues Alley in Washington, D.C. on Friday and Saturday. She's going to be doing two shows each night at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, so you don't want to miss that. But, you know, I want to get into this interview because, again, we know all of your songs, Queen Melba, and I'm sure that I'm always getting new listeners. We know all of your songs, as I said. We've grown up on your songs. We've fallen in love on your songs. And people oftentimes see the artist, but they oftentimes don't get to get a peek behind the veil, for lack of a better term, and see the person behind the artist. And after having interviewed you several times, you know, I know the other side of Melba. You know, I know that a lot of our listeners don't that have tuned in today. So just if you could just take us back a bit to, you know, how did you get started? Where did this whole love affair with music begin? Again, we've known you. You've been in the spotlight. Again, won an award, a Tony Award in 1970, but it's even started before then. When did it start for you as far as you even recognizing that you had a musical talent and that you wanted to make a career out of it?
Okay, that gives me a good place to start. because my family life was a little torn and tattered. My mother was a single parent, and she was away a good deal of the time because she was a professional singer. So I'm sure it's in my blood, and when she would come home and spend time with me, I noticed that not only was she beautiful as my mother, but she had a certain aura about her. And I think that, you know, her kids, they look at you, they look through your soul. They see all of you much more than you think they see. I think it began before I had any idea that I was going to be a singer, but I saw the way people treated my mother and the slightly different, I guess, mystique that she had about her because she was an artist. And she married my stepfather later. My natural father, Teddy Hill, was a very famous and successful musician and band leader, big bands, and so it was in my blood. But when she married my stepfather, because that was not in my blood, but he's a musician, still a musician, and I then had a sister and a brother, because he had a daughter and a son from a marriage, prior marriage, but his first wife had passed away. So I went from being an only child to a single mother, to having siblings and a whole family. That made a huge difference too. And everybody in my stepfather's family played an instrument or played the piano. So music, all of a sudden, from being a distant relative, became the centerpiece of our lives. And so there, my mother and stepfather would rehearse in the house, and we would have musicians in the house. And so it was like, I mean, having a live band in your living room. So I was really tremendously influenced by the magic and the miracle that music just does to everybody when you listen to music. This is why you grow up on it, you fall in love on it, you fall out of love on it. Music has that effect on you. So that was the childhood. But then by the time I got to high school age, I was in Newark, New Jersey, where my stepfather is from. So I moved from New York to Newark. And I was in public school at the time, but they have a performing arts school there. So I decided by that time, I didn't know if I was going to be an actual performing artist, but I wanted to be in the arts. I wanted to major in the arts. So I think that was the beginning of the end, you know, as a secular mm-hmm. person. I had joined the Church of Music, honey. I went to the performing arts school.
Yeah, that's got to be something. I mean, just to even when you look back at your life, you know, because we can, you know, with the brain that we have, we have memories, and we can go back in time and in our mind and remember, you know, where it all began, and, you know, the people that we came in contact with along the way, and, you know, the pivotal points along the different points in our career that opened certain doors. By the way, before we continue, I want to make sure that everybody knows the song that you heard, Bringing Melba On, that's I'm going to give you the title of it, because I know you heard that and you're like, wow, that's different, that's new, that's Melba. It's called What Can I Do to Survive, and it's off of Melba's upcoming album, CD, called Forevermore. And I know you really, really enjoyed that. I listened to that again last night, and I was like, my wife and I, we were sitting there looking at each other like, wow. You know, I mean, so just even
no,
when
no,
we
I don't
talk
know.
About
what do you
Melbourne
mean?
Morris,
wow. What did you mean, Jawanza? What is you know? I don't know how you felt about the music. What it did to you? It sounds like it was something good. But tell us.
Oh, without a doubt, it was definitely good because what I was thinking about was the production on the song, your voice. I mean, your voice is timeless, and my actual thought was with all of the different changes in music, you know, when you go back and you listen to music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and on up through, you know, to now, today, you can see the changes in music. And
right.
Even as the music has changed, and I listen to the production on that song, your voice is still Melba Moore, and it still flows with the new style. You've stayed relevant. The production is there. It's modern. It's, you know, and I was just thinking how your voice actually, and I'm going to find the right way to say this, it's like your voice and the music were like a tapestry, for lack of a better term. It was like somebody had woven your voice into the melody, and it was soothing, and yes, it was definitely a good wow. You know, it was soothing. It was like your voice was made for that song. That's what I was trying to say.
Well, I think that's very important for people to hear because these are trying to put into words emotions and feelings and sounds, and it's kind of difficult. That's why I love to hear have the music speak for itself. I can say this, that, that, that. You expect me to say it's good because I'm, you know, I'm promoting my music. But when the music speaks for itself, that's why I asked you to say what were you, you know, if you could put it into words.
Yes, it was.
But
it,
you did.
The wow was that even after, you know, the different spans of time, the different changes in music, that your voice, even on that track, was just, it was like the track was made for you, you know, and how, again, and I go back to the illustration of a tapestry, how it appeared as though your voice was woven into the melody. And that was, you know, I always listen to my Melba Moore songs, and when I listen to them, I love the way that when you riff, you know, and, you know, and for those, of course, who know what a riff is, it's an improvisational part of a person's song when they're singing their lyrics, and it's not necessarily, you know, and you go off and you do your thing. And
okay,
it's like when you do that, it's so natural. It's almost like it's not improvised, but it's so natural. It's just beautiful. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. And again, for all
no,
of the
that's wonderful.
That,
and I wanted you to say it too, because what you do for a living is you speak. You're a journalist. You put our feelings and our lives into words. So you would do it much better than I would. I would sing it better, but you would say it better.
Well, listen. Yeah, I try to sing it. Trust me. And you sing
but
it better.
That reminds me, you know, we have so much that we can go into. We forgot to speak about the song because we had so much that we could think about or talk about or explore. And so I'm
mm-hmm.
glad you mentioned, because it's very important that I let people know that I have music. But what I thought was really great is the way we are talking, the way we're doing things, is really the way my life is going, you know, how you walk down one street or you stop and you take a rest or you look at the bird. I mean, you know, there's just so many different things happening as you're just living your life. So it's marvelous.
You know, again, even if we can just pick up on the song, even, and, you know, what can I do to survive? And, you know, as we listen to the song, and I encourage everybody. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk about that for a moment? Just because, you know, it, like you talked about, this is life. You know, we go through,
right.
We fall in love, you know, sometimes we break up, you know, and, you know, we look back and we sometimes reminisce, sometimes we reminisce and smile, sometimes we reminisce and cry, and, you know, just to say, you know, what can I do to survive? And in the song, you know, the people being portrayed in the song, it's like, okay, there's something going on there in this relationship. But there are people out there right now that are even in relationships that feel as though this is the end. You know, I never thought that it would end like this. But, you know, maybe in a few years, maybe in a few months, they might look back and see the hand of God in the relationship. Now, I know I'm getting ready to open up a box here because I know you can talk about God.
I'm not going to go there, okay? But what I was thinking,
even when
was
you talk
that,
about that song, though, just again, I know it's going to speak to a lot of people. Could you just talk about the need to know that you can survive, even when
those days
when it looks like the clouds are so dark and it just looks like the sun is never going to shine again? Because you know, as you know, the sun does shine again.
Well, what I'd like to do is, I guess, you know, you sound like you're in love and that is compatible. And even that is difficult. And when, you know, we're made for companionship, even if it's not just romance. And when that's either ripped out or there's difficulty, it can send people into depression. It can actually send them into financial disaster. So this is very, 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 very far-reaching. As you know, I'm always going to get deep. I'm going to go there, okay? But it's really talking about literal survival.
Mm-hmm.
So when people listen to this, I believe that they'll be listening to it from a variety of levels and depths and critical areas, and that's why it will mean something to them. And hopefully what happened was the tapestry was there to open this up and to excite it and to inspire the real depths mm-hmm. of the human experience. And it mm-hmm. is survival. And as we can mm-hmm. look, if we want to go into politics, if we want to talk about Baltimore, like dear Lou Gossett was talking about, and we want to talk about politics, we're looking at mm-hmm. the possibility of a woman becoming president. We've had a black man become president. You know, we're talking about a variety of arenas of survival.
Yes. Absolutely. Everybody, if you don't know by now, my special guest is Queen Melba Moore, and I want to thank you all for tuning in and give you an opportunity, because I know if you're a fan like me, you don't let me just be the one to talk to her, because, you know, I don't mind. But if you'd like to speak to Melba, please press 1, and it will let me know that you have a comment or you just want to say hi to her. Again, she's going to be at Blues Alley on Friday and Saturday. That's right. This Friday and Saturday, she's going to be at Blues Alley in Washington, D.C., and she's going to be doing 2 shows each night. It's going to be an 8 o'clock show and a 10 o'clock show. Now, I'm going to give you the telephone number, because I'm sure tickets, if they're not sold out now, they're going to be. So you definitely want to call this number to get more ticket information. That number is 202-337-4141. Again, that's 202-337-4141. That's the number to the Blues Alley ticket office. You can get more information on that. Queen Melba, you mentioned Baltimore. And again, this is another, you know, we're talking about life here, and this is what, you know, happens oftentimes when you have unrest. What are your thoughts on what is or what has taken place? I mean, they were rioting, of course, the situation where there was a police officer or six police officers that accosted a young man, and when they arrested him, or they, you know, took him and put him in the van, he went in the van one way, and he came out another way. And, of course, you know the result of that. What are your thoughts on that, and if you were to speak to the people in Baltimore just concerning that whole situation and how it needs to be addressed? Because we've seen this, actually, before. We've seen riots, of course, when Martin Luther King died. We've seen riots at other times throughout our life. And what are your thoughts on that whole situation?
Well, if you don't mind, I would like to keep my focus on my area of expertise, because everybody's commenting on it, and I think that's going to get great, great attention. And I love the way that we are taking prayer to the streets and that we're dealing with it. You know, my prayers are also with them. But one of the things I'd like to do is I've got new music coming out, and that's really important to me. And I am so busy living life, I could kind of forget that. Because I want to say, first of all, that the tapestry that you heard was really created by a wonderful musician, composer, producer, Dominic McFadden, who happens to be the son of Gene McFadden of McFadden and Whitehead. And I think the important thing for me to do is make my commentaries in my music like in my my performance in my life, I would consider myself kind of a what do you call it, a music evangelist in the secular world, or prophet in that world, because you know my whole thing is really is God and all that. But I've said that so that people know what my roots are and where I'm coming from and why my music is what it is. But I need to stay focused on my music and my performance.
Well, I know that when it comes to your music, you have to be very, very serious about it. I think some people, when it comes to music, they kind of, you know, it's like maybe a hobby or something that they do on the side. And I think that that might speak to why some people have the longevity that you've had. And, I mean, when we talk about longevity, you've seen them come, you've seen them go, you know, and, I mean, for you to still be making new music, you know, at this stage in your career, absolutely phenomenal. And new music people love, you know, and to be able to sell out venues, even just wherever you go, you know, just sell out and to receive the love that you receive from all of your fans and having fans all over the world. I mean, just in everywhere you go, just getting love and people just showering you and telling you how much they love your music. I mean, that speaks a lot to the type of artist.
It's very important because these are the times when supposedly you've peaked and you're on a kind of a downtrend. But see, if I were to speak about God, I would say, no, I want to show the glory of God because now it's going to get better. Now, it's easy for me to say that, but thank God you played the music so you can hear it. And this is the time when very often the industry or different areas close down to you. You're not selling out. You're not they don't allow you to make new music. I shouldn't say that. That's not quite what I mean. I'm saying you can't find a way to make new music because you can't figure out how to fit in and how to make yourself relevant because you're still you and everybody knows you from some other time. So these are pretty phenomenal things that the Lord allows you to do. That's what I want to focus on because that's what I represent. I believe that if I'm successful, and it takes an awful lot, then I will be a presence in the industry of maturity, which you don't see an awful lot of. We're starting to see more. And it's not because people give us a chance. It's because we make things happen. You know, it's time for me to be the black lady president in the music industry now because it's that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean of everybody stuff, but just keeping whatever it is you do in excellence, go back and get, you know, upgrade your degrees, you know, find out what's going on electronically, like the social networking media. Now we have blog radio now. It used to be, you know, the FM radio stations. They're kind of going out now. You have to translate. You have to transmit. I don't know what the word is, but you got to get to step in and you have to grow and you have to progress and you have to get better. And when you see that happen, it's really pretty phenomenal. But it's what God does. So if you do it God's way, you're gonna get better as you get older. And you can't just say that. You have to do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's somebody out there right now, and I actually know this for a fact because it's my niece. She's listening online, and she's a Melba Moore fan. And when I told her you were calling, that you were going to be my special guest today, she was like, oh, I got to catch this show. I got to catch it, you know. What advice would you give to somebody who is, she's working on her CD, as a matter of fact, you know, who wants to get out there herself and, you know, just any advice to, as far as, because you have spoken to generations, and you're still here, okay, and you're still making music that people want to hear. I mean, music that is timely, music that has, I mean, all of your songs have had messages in them. You've never embarrassed us as an artist. You know, any advice you would give to somebody that is endeavoring to embark upon a music career themselves?
Well, to be honest with you, Jawanza, I feel like, especially if they are of a certain age, you know, like not children starting, but say they're young adults, they're the ones to advise us now because God gives them a wisdom and a perception that he only introduces at this age. And so I don't think I can really advise them. I can see what I have to learn what they're doing now and find out, okay, what is there left of me that's usable? I can share with them what I've done, but I think we have to advise each other.
Well, I'm going to give her a chance to talk to you if she wants to. Listen, all you have to do is press 1, everybody. And if you're listening online, call in at 347-324-5727. If you're listening again online and not by phone, just call in at 347-324-5727 and ask your question. My special guest today is, of course, as you know, Queen Melba Moore. She's going to be at Blues Alley. If you haven't got your ticket yet, call this number and get ticket information. Okay, that number is 202-337-4141. That's the Blues Alley ticket office. That's 202-337-4141. Well, somebody wants to speak to you, Queen Melba. Okay,
great.
So I'm coming to you now.
I hope that's some good advice for me.
All right. See, 3258, last four digits, 3258. You are on the air with Queen Melba Moore. Thank you for calling Jawanza for Life.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Queen Melba. How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. How are you?
I am absolutely spectacular listening to you on my uncle's show. I cannot believe that this is really you and this is actually happening. I've been a huge fan for many, many years, and I just wanted to tell you how much you have inspired me as a vocalist and also someone who has always had and performed with such great integrity. You've never allowed the industry to come in and sort of mar you and make you do things that you didn't want to do. It seems like to me that you are the standard at which we young performers need to attempt to reach for, because honestly, there's no one like Melba Moore.
Thank you.
Well,
I was just thinking, though, that things are done differently, and you might have some ideas to share about how people get their CDs done, because, you know, we have the electronics, and we older people, you know, we're trying to learn that, and you guys have that.
Yes, and actually I'm working on my own project, and I'm doing some covers, and I wanted to ask you a question, actually. Would you suggest that new folks trying to really get their name out and establish in the business, do you suggest that they sort of start with covers, or should they do their own original material?
I think you should try your own original material for the most part, maybe do a few covers, because it gives people an opportunity to discover you. When you do cover material, it's good because they can compare you to what they've heard. But I think they also need to hear something that they're not going to compare to somebody else and just give them a chance to listen to you freshly. Now, this is just a personal opinion, but like I just recall trying to develop my own style and having some challenges in terms of drawing people into rooms, and when I couldn't draw too much, I had to make sure that I sang my own songs, because if I sang covers, they'd go away remembering whoever I sang, not me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good
so
advice.
That's something I've learned by experience. Oh, she sang that great. You remember Chaka Khan or whatever he said, forget about you.
Interesting. Okay, I understand. Okay, well, thank you so much for taking my call, and I'm going to listen to the rest of the show and let whoever else wants to get on get an opportunity, and I wish I could be there Saturday night, but I will not miss your next performance. Oh, and I love the new song, by the way.
Thank
I really do.
So
I listened
much.
To it today, and it's just fantastic. And it's very relevant and current, I must say.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, T.
You're welcome.
Talk to you soon. Anybody else, if you'd like to make a comment, say hi to Queen Melba, all you have to do is just press 1, and I'll bring you on board. Melba Moore, again, is going to be at Blues Alley Friday and Saturday, and she's going to be doing 2 shows each night. That's going to be an 8 o'clock show, and it's going to be a 10 o'clock show. And, again, for more ticket information, just call 202-337-4141. Again, that's 202-337-4141. Queen Melba, if you could, I mean, you've got a lot of stuff going on. In October, you're about to be inducted into the official Rhythm and Blues Music Hall of Fame. Another honor and another tribute to a long career. I mean, just to be inducted into that, that's got to be very special.
Absolutely, it is. And it's a new society, and what it shows me is that things are opening up to give people recognition. I mean, as much as recognition as there has been given, there are many, many artists who have contributed greatly who have not been recognized. So I think there's still room for expansion in that area, and this is going to be wonderful, another opportunity for us to take a look at some of the artists over the years who have been very vital in our lives and should have this recognition.
You know, as I'm listening to you and we're having this discussion, I think that, you know, I want the listeners to be on the lookout for your CD when it comes out, called, it's going to be Forevermore. And
right,
that title is so timely. I mean, it's just so perfect because it seems as though we've known you forever. And it's just amazing how when you can hear somebody's voice, you know, via the CDs, over the radio, you get to feel like you know them. And just that title, Forevermore, it's so appropriate because we feel like we've known you forever. We feel like we've listened to your music. We've loved your music, seems like, forever. And it seems like you keep going forever, you know. So
When I thought about the title, I thought I've made so many attempts at moving forward or coming back, and it just continues on. So I said, well, why don't I just say Forevermore? I'm just going to keep coming. I don't know.
But you keep on, and it just keeps on getting just as good. I mean, and what's amazing to me is even as I was reading your bio, you had been out for a while. You had been acting. You had done some things, and then I believe it was in 1986, you had won another award, and I was like, wow, there are these gaps in time. You won an award in 70,
right,
and then to win another one in the 80s, I mean, these different decades that are spanning and winning,
right,
awards in different decades, I mean, that's awesome.
I guess I was kind of thinking along those lines, too. Sometimes there have been gaps, and I guess one of the things I could probably say that's important is that sometimes we're marketed to so much, and there's a veil that, you know, we artists and musicians and whatever stars show you what we want you to see, and it looks like, well, you know, what is this gap? It's life, it's living, you know, it hasn't been consistent, but the thing of it is, I feel like, well, my calling, once again, here we go, God again, is to be a singer, to be an artist, to be an actress. And so I don't know where it's going to take me or how consistent or inconsistent it's going to be, but we're going to keep living, and so we're going to keep producing. And fortunately, every once in a while, you know, God gives me a reward for it and says, okay, you're a good girl. I'll let you stay a little longer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, we thank God that He has allowed you to stay longer because we're still loving your music, and again, it seems like we're going to be loving it forevermore, and I just love it. And my niece, she's so polite. She didn't want to monopolize the time. She had more questions, so she texted me, so I'm going to read a text to you. She asked me to ask you who you listen to. And what's the last CD you purchased? She said she's curious to know who you're a fan of. And she also wanted to know if you were going to be doing any more acting. She said she loved your performance in The Fighting Temptation.
Okay, well, lately I haven't really been listening to a lot of people because I've had to be to focus on some writing and creating myself. I'm mounting my one-woman play with music called Still Standing, the Melba Moore story. And I've done it many times before, but right now I have to put together a business team, and that's a whole nother arena of expertise that I have to kind of study and get some help on. So I don't have a lot of time to just kind of sit around and listen to music. I think that's wonderful, but if you want to continue to perform, you have to learn about the other aspects of it that are necessary. And I have a great manager in Ron Richardson. He helps me. But you still need some specialized teams of people to do special projects. And so I am kind of probably mainly more focused on the business and political aspect of keeping my career relevant and moving. Now, the old days, you know, there was a record executive and their whole marketing teams and, you know, a business manager and a personal manager doing all this with you or for you. And now I'm the CEO, so I have to do it. And some of this is new territory for me. So that's kind of primarily what I'm focusing on. Matter of fact, when I get through with this, maybe I'll run for president.
You got my vote. I'll make you up some flyers and start passing them out.
Right? I need some help to do it, Dad. I'm excited. But it's been that kind of a focus so that I can see, okay, what are the nuts and bolts now? Because, you know, the American dream is you start out in a mailroom, but if you do your homework, you're supposed to be the CEO, which means your focus has to change a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I may ask you this again, just because everybody's trying to, you know, when you are trying to stay relevant, you know, you're trying to, of course, you want your music to be the music that people can listen to. Of course, you always are, I guess, endeavoring to get new fans, okay, but then you have fans that have been with you since 1970 and prior to that. How long would you say it took you to find your style, you know? Because there are sometimes people, you might hear a song by somebody and you could hear somebody else singing it, you know? You might hear a song by somebody and be like, you know, I could hear so-and-so. That sounds like so-and-so could sing, they could do that song well. But how long would you say it took you to find your own style? And I'm sure that for you, with the range that you have, is really, really amazing. And because you can do so many different styles. As a matter of fact, I listened to a song today that you did with Phil Perry, and I was noticing the range in that particular song, and then even the range in the song that you did with Lean On Me. You know, I mean, it's just, wow, it's just this, all this range. So how long would you say it took you before you actually found you as an artist in terms of style?
It's a good question, and I'm not sure, but I remember falling in love with Aretha Franklin's version of Lean On Me, which was on the back of a single called Rose in Spanish Harlem. And her style and her voice is so very, very different from mine. And I started singing it, and I saw things develop. And then, of course, singing it live in front of people, and they would kind of say, woo, 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 in certain places. I thought, okay, what did I do? I said, can I do that again? And you start to develop a style based on what people based on what people are responding to. And so, like, Lean On Me was one of the first indications that, oh, we've got to do that, and we have to show the high range, and we have to do this. And so that kind of a ballad really is kind of my forte. And that's probably the first song where I discovered I had this long note.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you can't sing every
amazing
song like that, you know. So you still have to keep searching, I guess you might say that.
Well, you know, it's amazing because so many people, when you think of a person holding a note that long, I mean, you really belted it out. And, you know, people were looking and they were like, oh, my God, she's still holding it. You know, people would leave the room and come back and you still holding the note, you know.
I said, well, Dad, do I have your attention?
You got it.
Are you listening?
Like she's gonna fall out if she doesn't.
But you asked how long did it take? I don't know, like, in terms of years, because it's a matter of, like, continuing to search. And my voice, say, back when the days when I first got Lean On Me, for instance, I was a soprano, a lyric soprano, but continuing to sing, actually, and, you know, when you get older, your voice gets fuller and lower. But what has happened in the effort to try to figure out what my style is, and having so much to pick from during those days, like, you're trying to satisfy the record company and you know, figure out what's going to be a hit for you, because you don't sell the music, you don't get to sing too much longer. It's within mm-hmm. that realm too. It's a combination of what is commercial and what is my style and what can I do and what will people receive from me. So it's not a simple task to do, but that's why I've done so many different kinds of music. I'm searching, and now
right. The
search is, how do I stay relevant? So you keep searching.
Well, I think you found the ingredients, I'm telling you.
But you found the ingredients. How long did it take me? About 40 years?
Well, you found it.
Still searching.
Hey, better late than that can be the name. That could be the name of your next CD. Searching.
<Right.
laughs> You know. So, Queen Melba, again, I just want to say again to the listeners online, because I know that there are people out there that love you. I can see the phones. The phone lines are lit up. You mean to tell me all these people on the line, you don't want to say hi to Queen Melba? All you have to do is press 1.
They're just listening. They don't want to say hi.
It doesn't mean that they don't want to say that. Maybe they're mesmerized, okay? But you bought her CDs, listened to her songs, you've fallen in love on her songs. I mean, you hum her songs. You try to hit those notes, and now you can say all you got to do is press 1. It's just that simple. My name is Jawanza. You're listening to Jawanza for Life. If you're just tuning in, Queen Melba's going to be at Blues Alley, everybody. This Friday and Saturday in Washington, D.C., she's going to be at Blues Alley. She's going to be doing 2 shows a night, okay? 2 shows, an 8 o'clock show and a 10 o'clock show. So if you call this number and the show, let's say that is Friday night is sold out, then you're going to have to go on Saturday. But the number to call to the ticket office is 202-337-4141. Again, that's the Blues Alley ticket office. 202-337-4141. Somebody else wants to talk to you, Queen Melba. Okay,
right.
I'm coming to you now. Last 4 digits, 4356. That's 4356. Thank you for your patience. You're on the air with Queen Melba Moore.
Hi, this is Renee. I didn't want to interrupt the conversation. That's what nobody's pushing on. We're just mesmerized by listening to her talk and the story and everything. But I just wanted to say my favorite Melba Moore song was with Freddie Jackson, Just a Little Bit More.
Yay.
Mm.
Oh, thank
I love
you.
That song. I love that song.
Thank you, Renee.
Yeah, I listened to that today as well, you know, and I love that one, and I also love the duet that she did with Phil Perry. Oh, my God.
Oh,
that was,
I love
that was...
working with Phil. Mm-hmm. He was amazing. Mm-hmm. I said, well, wait a minute here. Who's going to sing the highest note?
I know that's right. I know that's right.
That's
Queen Renee, again, I want to say thank you so much. Queen Renee has always been a supporter of this show, and she's a regular.
Yes.
And I just want to just encourage Queen Renee. I mean, even and when challenges come, that you know she finds a way to come through and say, hey, I'm gonna stick by you, Jawanza, and I'm gonna support you, and I'm gonna be there, and she's here. I mean, and I just want to say thank you so much, Queen Renee. Are you still there?
Yes, I am. But you can't support something that's not worthy, and you're worthy.
Well,
and
I think
you,
so
you
much,
bring
Renee.
To us is worthy, and it's just like you have no recourse but to be here. Because you're better for it, you know.
You know, Queen Melba, if I may I share, Queen
yes.
Renee, just tidbit. Queen Renee has suffered a challenge, and she's actually calling right now, speaking from her hospital bed. And she called in because she heard, I contacted her and said, Queen Melba's going to be on today, and from her hospital bed, she's calling to say hi to you, and I love it. And I just want to say thank you so much, Queen Renee.
Yes,
well, I thank you,
well.
Too, and I hope that you'll be up out of there very, very quickly.
That's what I'm aiming to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm working hard at it. So.
Yes, well, we'll give our good wishes, yes.
Yes,
we'll give our good wishes and the love of the Lord, you know, keep you and heal you quickly.
Yes. And that's it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
But
Queen
I love
Renee.
You. I love you and Pearlie. I love
thank
everything
you.
You've done. Your Clifton Davis show, you and Clifton Davis. I just love you. I said so much coming out of that little tiny body, you know.
I'm just trying to keep it tiny, Renee. We love you, Renee.
Powerhouse of a woman, period, but of a performer. And they don't make them like you anymore. And
no,
that's the
I'm
sad thing about it.
That's
and
the
I
truth.
Look
yeah.
at all these performers, they're just
brand. They're just marketing, and it's a package deal, you know, and it. But the essence of the package is missing, if you ask me, you know. And but it seems like your style and your artistry is just full of everything that artistry is supposed to be.
Thank you.
And we love that.
Because we work hard to try to keep it intact, and I appreciate you noticing that. You know, we try to discipline and live a clean life. You know, it's not just our music. We're trying to be a good citizen of the community, everything, you know. So I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. I appreciate the package. I really do. And
thank
not
you.
Just the marketing element of it.
Right.
That's what packaging has become anymore. The marketing
side of it.
Right.
Right.
I agree. I appreciate the package that you
thank
offer.
You.
Uh-huh.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so
me.
Much.
Okay.
Thank
you. And I'll listen to the message.
Okay.
All right.
All righty. We love
peace
you.
Peace and blessings. Thank
bye
you.
Bye.
Love you. Thank you for your call. Wow, let's talk about lifestyle for a moment. I mean, because that plays a role in just being able
absolutely,
to have a long.
Absolutely, honey. I'll tell everybody. I don't be sitting down watching TV, eating no potato chips to be doing what I'm doing. Okay.
Right. So
no,
you can't do it. Sometimes you gotta push it away, huh?
I'm telling you, you know, and I want to be, you know, bring some joy to everybody. So you see, I make a lot of jokes and stuff, but. It's the joy of the Lord. It's a disciplined life. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, you know, my niece is still texting me. You can just press one. I don't mind bringing you back on board. But she doesn't want to take up the time. But one of the questions she asked is, who have you ever wanted to work with? Was there anybody out there that you just said, oh, wow, I would just love to work with so-and-so and so-and-so, and either did get a chance to work with them or, you know, still waiting to work with them?
There have been so many people that I've had the pleasure of working with, but I never thought in terms of who could I work with because I'm not a duet. I'm not a group. I don't really think like that. But, I've been on the stage with Sarah Vaughan. I've been on the stage, well, not on the stage, yeah, with Lena Horne. I've been with some great, I've been in the same room with Pearl Bailey. I had Barbara Streisand come backstage and say, Melba, how do you say that, poorly? You're not from the <Really? laughs> And I was flabbergasted. I don't remember what I said to her because I was so flabbergasted at looking up in my dressing room and seeing Barbara Streisand standing there looking at my face. But I haven't really, I guess it's been some nice surprises, but, and it's such a struggle for survival and not getting lost in the sauce. It's just not a thing that I think about, being with somebody. I'm trying to hope that you remember me by myself. But I guess if you're just watching somebody, you know, you might say, oh, she might be nice with this one or that one or the other. You might think that way, but that my mind doesn't go that way.
That was a good question, T. Here's another. Thoughts on the gospel album? Have you done a gospel album? And if not, have you ever thought about doing a gospel album? I mean, we're talking
I've
to Melba Moore.
Done a couple of gospel albums, and I have a gospel album in the works as well.
Okay. Well, that's got to be something that's really dear to your heart, because after having interviewed you before, I know that you're a woman of faith, and if we could just talk momentarily just about faith and just the role that faith has played in this journey of yours, because I know you give God all the glory, and just your faith, how it has sustained you over the years.
Right, and you know, that's the other thing that's changed, because basically when I lost everything, I was a born-again Christian, but I didn't have any Christian songs. And I went to a couple of people. One of them was Shirley Murdoch, and she wrote me a wonderful, wonderful song called "I'm Still Here," and that was I titled my gospel album that title. And I've done a few others, and I was only singing gospel. But then, as I progressed as a born again Christian, and you know, we're coming into the finishing of the Easter season, which means as powerful as the resurrection is. And that kind of anointing, you know, we still are coming up on Pentecost. I didn't even get, you know, the Holy Ghost fall on me yet. So what my point is this. I said, okay, well, where you want me to go? and this is where he's sending me. So normally what would happen, because the church is expanding to, you know, let God rule the church and not just keep everything that's godly in the back pew of the church, he's sending us out into the world to evangelize, and we don't always mention his name or preach, and I'm not a preacher. So when he gets ready, he's going to let me do my gospel album, and you see the other things that he's been doing for me, but right now I'm following him.
You know what, Queen Melba, I'm going to bring my niece back on. She keeps texting me. I love you, T, but I'm going to let you talk to your idol. Okay. See you back on the air with Queen Melba. Let me just do a formal introduction. Queen Melba, this is my niece, T. Melba.
T, welcome.
Hello. I am so sorry. I have been blowing my uncle up with 1,000 questions because I am such a fan. I just am in love with your voice and your vocals. I had a question that I was just about to text to Uncle. I wanted to know, you are such an R&B diva of sorts. Have you ever thought about the reality TV show thing to really get people reacquainted with you as an artist and just...
You know what? I don't really feel like I fit into that so much in terms of there really is kind of a script, and if there's not a whole lot of mess in it and everything, it doesn't seem to work. But I think that at a certain point, once I have some other things that I know I have to settle and get solid and up and out there, I think reality TV is fabulous, and I just want to make sure that it's something like my music, that it's a tapestry, something that suits me.
Mm-hmm.
And I suit it, and that I can be as dynamic and powerful, you know, in terms of inspiring people or whatever it is, if God gives me that media.
Right. And another question I had, and then I promise this is it, Uncle, I absolutely swear. I wanted to know more about this one-woman show that you mentioned that you've taken on the road before, and when will you be bringing that to the D.C. area?
All right, well, as we speak, I've got a call from one of the gentlemen who's helping to put the production of it together, and he's putting together it's like a tour management, agent, somebody that actually organizes the tour.
Mm-hmm,
and so
mm-hmm.
That's going to take, you know, putting together your promo packages and all of that, and so all of those people have to get together and organize it. But I would say... maximum maybe about a year. It has to take
okay.
to put it together, do all the marketing, lay it out, get all the financing in place, because the play is finished. I've done it many times, but I never did the business part of it, so I have to do that now. Actually, I have to do that in pretty much all the different areas of my life. I got
mm-hmm.
the music down, I got the art down now, but in order for me to do what I do well and not go out and ask people to please audition me and give me a part in their nightmare, I have to take care of the business part. So I can, and I'm telling you this for your own purposes too, I can, when you see me, like I like to say it this way, you've seen me as Ludie Bell, you've seen me as Marcina, you've seen me as Dion and Hair. You've seen me as Fantine in Les Miserables, but you've never seen Melba Moore.
Mm.
And you won't see her until I'm the producer, and I'm telling you that, T.
Right. Well, I appreciate it. I really do. And I'll be quiet now and let you finish your interview, Uncle. I'm sorry.
No. You've added. You've asked some awesome questions, and I appreciate your presence. Thank you so much. Next time I have Melba on, I'm going to let you know, and I know you're going to make it to Blues Alley next time she's there.
I absolutely will be there with a sign that says, "I'm Uncle Juwanza's niece."
Okay,
yes,
sounds good.
I will welcome you.
Everybody, again,
okay.
This has been this fabulous show. Thank you so much, T. This has been a fabulous, fabulous show. And, again, Queen Melba's going to be at Blues Alley in Washington, D.C. I'm going to want you to write it down and stick it on your refrigerator. Okay, but tickets might be going fast, so you better call this number. This is the Blues Alley ticket office number. It's 202-337-4141. That's 202-337-4141. She's going to be there on Friday night, and she's going to be there Saturday night. She's going to be doing two shows Friday night, and she's going to be doing two shows Saturday night. If Friday sold out, you can catch Saturday. If Saturday sold out, catch Friday, okay? But whatever you do, one of them, if not both of them, is Mother's Day weekend coming up. It would be an awesome, awesome, awesome treat for Mom if you would just get her, surprise her, and say, Mom, listen, I just want to take you somewhere. And just take her to the Blues Alley and allow her to witness what so many have witnessed. And everybody that witnesses it testifies that they are so glad that they went. As a matter of fact, even yesterday, Louis Gossett Jr. was saying he stood in the cold in line waiting to hear Queen Melba. And when I spoke to him the day after the show, he was like, oh, my God, Juwanza. I was blown away. She blew me away, you know. But if you want to get blown away or you want to blow your mother away, then take it to the show, okay? Again, that's Friday and Saturday. Call the number to make sure that tickets are still available because I'm sure they're going fast. That's 202-337-4141. Queen Melba, we've got about 5 minutes left in the show, so I want to give everybody this.
Speaking of Mother's Day, now your wife is there. Do you have children?
I've got 5 daughters.
5? Oh, my gosh, and you're not going to let her come on and join us for the last 5 minutes?
Well,
I'm right here. I'm listening. I'm enjoying.
You should see her. She's writing notes like tea.
Well, say
notes
something.
Notes like Tiana.
Make it a family
you know,
affair.
Mel,
it's
I do
Mother's Day.
Yes.
Thank you. I do have a question. I wanted to also find out from you your beauty regimen or your health regimen because I know that's very important to you, and I've heard over the years, you know, you maybe have spoken about the importance of staying healthy.
Right. Okay, well, once again, partly it starts, I guess, from being a born-again Christian. You know, we're required to fast and pray a lot. And when you do that and you deny your tummy, your mind does, it may do some strange things on you at first because you'd be hungry, but you start to realize that you have to listen to your body and certain things you eat will have a certain effect. Like I noticed, like this is kind of a general thing. Especially for singers, but for most people, you shouldn't eat a lot of dairy. You shouldn't eat fried foods. I can tell you what you shouldn't eat. I'll tell you what's good to eat is avocados, you know, fruits, grapes, greens, a lot of that, you know, because you can eat 25 times a day and you won't gain weight and you'll be cleaning your body up and, you know, cleaning out the blood and everything. I take a lot of nutrients. I won't suggest to you what you should take, but if you have an active life, you're going to need something to give you energy and, you know, not just caffeine, although a lot of the medicinal products do have caffeine in it. And I'm seeing that, and it's not for everybody. A certain amount of caffeine makes you more alert, makes you puts you in a good mood. So I'm not saying a cup of coffee. I don't know. There's a different energy, nutrients sometimes because there's some alternatives because we have very active lives. And I think, you know, we want to eat a lot of meat. And back in the day, we used to eat a lot of starch. I don't eat any starches anymore. I don't eat any potatoes, no rice. I'm not good with beans, and I think, or legumes, and I think sometimes people don't know maybe why they're catching a cold or why when the pollen season comes around they're more sensitive to it. It has probably to do with your diet. And I would say because I'm an artist and I love what I do and it's how I put a roof over my head, I can't afford to get sick. So you start to listen to God and start to maybe take notes and look at what you're doing with your diet primarily. And, of course, you need to have proper movement and exercise. The planet moves, the universe moves, you got to move. And then that's kind of a remedy for a lot of what might ail you because, you know, we sit and we look at the TV. We sit and we look at our computers. And you got to get up and you got to move. I mean, that's just generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, thank you so much because I know you have mentioned that over the years. I can see it, that you have maintained beauty over the years and appreciate you sharing that information.
And, you know, and your vitality, your energy, you don't want it to kind of low, get slow, or your posture starts to go. You have to keep revitalizing yourself, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Melba.
Pleasure.
Everybody, this has been another fast hour. It's just gone by so fast. Again, you see another side now. Your idol, you know, for those of you who idolize Queen Melba like we do, you know, and for those of you who've grown up listening to her, if you've never had an opportunity to actually hear her in an interview, to hear her being Melba, you know, this Queen Melba being Queen Melba, then today's show was very, very special for you too. And I just want you to know that now, Filtree is the show, okay? So now, make sure, it's Mother's Day weekend. You want to surprise your mom? Okay, if you know that she's of that age, that era. Oh, shucks, I was getting ready to say of that era where she would know Melba Moore. She could have been born in the last 40, 50 years and still know Melba Moore. So, you know, make sure that you get by Blues Alley again. Check this number, call this number to make sure the tickets are still available. It's 202-337-4141. Write it down. That's 202-337-4141. That's the Blues Alley ticket office. Okay, she's going to be doing two shows. Okay, or shall I say four shows in 2 days. Okay, at Blues Alley for this Friday and Saturday. Two shows on Friday. That's 8 o'clock show and a 10 o'clock show. And two shows on Saturday, an 8 o'clock show and a 10 o'clock show. So you've got four opportunities at Queen Melba this weekend. And make it a very, very special Mother's Day weekend for somebody special in your life. Again, Queen Melba, it's always a pleasure. When I want to congratulate you in advance on, again, you being inducted into the official Rhythm and Blues Music Hall of Fame in Detroit. You're going to be doing a performance there. Congratulations
yes.
for that latest.
Thank you.
And for all of the awards that you've received along the way, they're going to have to start creating some new awards for you because, again, forevermore is what you truly are, evermore.
Thank you. Bless you guys. Thank you.
Everybody, that was Melba Moore. Any parting words for our listeners, Queen Melba?
Yeah, can you play my song again?
You know I am. I'm going to play it one more time. Everybody, the song that you're about to hear, as we close the show, is the latest single by Queen Melba Moore. It's from her yet-to-be-released album, Forevermore, and you're definitely going to love it. I want you to listen to the words, and I want you to listen to the production, and again, get ready, because I want you're going to want to go out and buy it. It's called What Can I Do to Survive? What Can I Do to Survive? And you listen to somebody who has survived the changes in the music industry. She's still here. She's still going strong, and you can still catch her this weekend. So without further ado, let's get to the song. Thank you, Queen Melba. It's always a pleasure.
Bless you guys.
We love you.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you.
Okay. Everybody, that was Queen Melba Moore. My name is Jawanza. I truly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to tune in. Write the number down. I'm going to give it one more time because I want to make sure that you have take advantage of these four opportunities that you have to hear Queen Melba this weekend. If you're going to be in Washington, D.C., or you're in Washington, D.C., or if you're in Baltimore, come on down to Blues Alley. If you're in Virginia, go on up to D.C. and make it a special treat for somebody that you know is going to really enjoy these shows. She's going to be at Blues Alley, and she's going to be there Friday for two shows. She's going to be there Saturday for two shows. They're going to be an 8 o'clock show, and there's going to be a 10 o'clock show, all right? Now, call this number to see if tickets are still available. They might have sold out while this show was going on, but call. Be on the safe side. Call and check it out. It's 202-337-4141. That's 202-337-4141. Now, just in case, you may happen to miss the show. Okay, she's going to be in New York, okay, on May the 22nd and May the 23rd, and she's going to be doing two shows there. It's going to be at 7 p.m. She's going to be at 54 Below. That's formerly it's the old Studio 54. It's now called 54 Below, and that's at 254 West 54th Street in New York. So if, for whatever reason, you missed this show, you can still catch her in New York. Again, that's going to be on May the 22nd and May the 23rd. It's going to be a 7 p.m. show both days, and that's going to be at 54 Below, and that's the old Studio 54, 254 West 54th Street in New York. So, now, I know you're saying, Juwanza, be quiet. I want to hear the song. Okay. Your wishes come true. Thank you so much for your time. My name's Juwanza. I love you too. Peace and blessings.